folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, assistant professor of theology here at the university and the director of the Concordia Bible Institute. We are making our way through the top 40 texts. Yes, your list of top 40 might be different from mine, but I have sat down and put together a top 40 like every Christian must know these 40 texts of the Bible. And today is Leviticus 16. My goodness, what in the world is in the middle of Leviticus? It is right in the middle, actually. It is in the middle of the book of Leviticus. It is in the middle of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it is in the middle of the theology of atonement, you might say. That is this notion of the nature and character of God wanting atonement, a day of atonement, a way for his wrath to be dealt with, to be expiated, to be meted out. This is, man, if I had to be honest, I would say of the whole corpus of 40 texts, I would say this one is probably the most difficult for my students. I would say it's the least accessible because we've got terms in here like Azazel, and we've got, maybe we're not familiar with the tabernacle and so on. But I still push forward with it. I still pick it because of what it teaches about the nature of sin and forgiveness and of God, the fact that his wrath can be taken out on a substitute and so on, very rich, and ultimately for its witness to the person and work of Christ. And so what I have here for this particular text, our top 40, is Leviticus 16, but select verses. The whole chapter is kind of long, and it is marvelous. But I have select verses here for those of you tracking this and wanting to follow along. Verses 6 to 10, and then 15 and 16, and then 20 to 22. So it's really only like 7-8 verses, but it's rich. And I do the best I can to get my students to think through. Like, this is our Jewish friends, by the way, start their kiddos. I've heard this. There are many different kinds of Jews out there, but some of them see this text as very significant for teaching their children about who God is and so on. The Day of Atonement, kind of a big deal. Once every year, I'll say more about that after I read this. So here, the text of Leviticus 16 I'd like for us to consider goes like this. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. All right. Alrighty. So there we have the text of Leviticus chapter 16. I guess we could begin with the cast of characters. We have Aaron, who is, as we've already encountered, the first high priest of Israel. He's the one who's very much involved here. That alone is significant, I think, by the way. As you read through the Bible, you get a sense of Moses, right? Moses is this big prophet and so on. But at the same time, from the get-go, Moses complains that he's not a good speaker, and the Lord allows him to have Aaron as like a priestly figure. Now, why couldn't you just pick somebody instead of Moses who could speak well and kind of be a prophet, priest, and one? Well, is it just such a coincidence that the Lord picks for a deliverer of his people both Moses and someone very close to him, brother, blood brother, Aaron? You have both prophet and priest. Eventually you'll get the king request here in a few books of the Bible. But this is, I mean, that in and of itself, the fact that you have this huge prophet, huge priest acting together for the sake of delivering God's people, forgiving God's people, is already an indication. Wait a minute. Our Lord comes as the perfect prophet and priest together, and also king, as we'll see later. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself. So here's the first thing is, what are the people involved? Aaron. But what are the animals involved? You hear that we have a bull, okay? And then we have two goats. The two goats get all the attention, but I want to start first with this bull, and that is a huge animal. My family actually does some home butchering, hogs, steers, and so on. That is a huge animal. Some bulls are like 2,000 pounds. They can be huge. 1,500 pounds. They're big. That's what Aaron offers for himself. That's a lot bigger than a goat. That's a lot. But the thing here is that this is already indicating something about the role of a high priest. That's a megaton offering that the high priest handles, so that the high priest is totally and utterly cleansed for the sake of what he will do for the people. The priest throughout this, by the way, is such a middleman. On the one hand, Aaron brings God's word. He preaches sermons. He delivers the goods, as it were. He stands in the stead of God, in the stead and by the command. You've heard those words. On the other, he represents the people. And he is in himself a kind of embodiment of all the sin. And has this bull. I think people always, why the bull and not the goat and all that? I think that in himself is this kind of, I stand and represent all the people. And I got a megaton of sin when I come before you, O Lord, with this. It's a bull of an amount. But at the same time, we see our Lord, who is both our high priest in how he is God in the flesh, making his divine access, you know, accessible to us, but at the same time bearing all of our sins in his body on the tree. So he'll make atonement first for him and his house. Okay, remember, this is just once a year. I think I mentioned that. Okay, then he takes the two goats, okay, and sets them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. I love this detail. Why? Because it's the entrance of the tent of meeting. Who cares? Because of this, the entrance of the tent of meeting. So back in the day, there was this tabernacle. You've heard of it, probably. They get out of Egypt. They're hanging out. They get the Ten Commandments, and God says, you know what? Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Now, I don't suppose you have to do that. God has his presence all over the world, but no, let them make me a dwelling place so that I can be with them. That's how close I want to be with you. We want to be roommates here. You don't have to be roommates with us. You know who we are. Yes, please make me a dwelling place. I'm present everywhere. Where's God? He's present everywhere, but I want to be present with you in a very special way, unlike I'm present anywhere else in all of creation. That's how much you mean to me. So make me in a tent of meeting, a sanctuary. And at the entrance of the tent of meeting, that's where I will meet with you. That's where we'll have our meetings. That's where I'll talk with you. I'll converse with you. Exodus makes a big deal of this, that it's at the entrance of the tent of meeting where I will. Does this sound familiar, by the way? The Lord, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. There's a new tabernacle in town, a new meeting place of God on earth, and it's in his Son Jesus, the Word made flesh, tabernacling among us. Well, the reason I love this, two goats, set them at the entrance of the tent of meeting, is to say, put both goats in my presence. Both of these dirty animals, put them where I have promised to dwell with you. Put them in my presence. Aaron cast lots over both the goats, one for the Lord and the other for Azazel, which is kind of a, oh my goodness, what in the what is Azazel? Well, okay, first one for the Lord. Even though it's going to be killed later, the one for the Lord is the one that's killed. That alone is kind of interesting, right? Why don't you kill the one for Azazel? Okay, but the one for the Lord is mentioned first, and that's the one that's killed. And that alone is already kind of a, whoa, the one that's killed is for the Lord? Does he accept a substitute offering sacrifice for our sins? Absolutely. There's another for Azazel. Azazel is a weird Hebrew word. It's mentioned only here. Translations capitalize it as if it's like a proper place. Or name of a place. It means scapegoat. It means to banish. It comes from this word to banish or to drive away or to kick out, to forsake, to leave, to like bleh. And so the other one for Azazel is like it's for the realm of the banishment, for the out cast, just the blah. It's for the blah. So I'll rest of this podcast. I'll do one for the Lord and one for blah. Get rid of it. It's for Azazel. Into the wilderness it goes. Okay. Aaron presents the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and uses it as a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Few things here, kind of fascinating. Then we'll probably have to take a break, and that is, he's presenting both goats. One is dead. That's the one for the Lord. It will be sacrificed. That is totally dead. What's the other one? For Azazel, we'll learn later, that's the one that gets all the sins. One of them will be sacrificed. The other one gets all of the sins. Both of them are in the presence of the Lord. Put, and it's even emphasized in verse 10, you heard that again, present them alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the world. Put, one's dead, one gets sin. Put sins and put death in my presence. Take all of your sins and take death and put it on me. Put it before my eyes. Put it in my dwelling place. Put it on me. Does this sound familiar? You're getting a lot of payoff here. This text pays dividends. Part of the reason I picked it is just sins can be transferred. They can be absolute. We'll talk more about that too. Wrath can be dealt with, sacrifices can make atonement, and the Lord himself is not afraid to jump in and get dirty in this. The Lord himself is going to take the hits. Do you know how many sins we have committed over the past year? Do you know how bad my skeletons in the closets are? Do you know how much I fear death? Do you know how much all of this? Put that on me. That's the kind of God I am for you. Put that all on me, and I will show you how I will fulfill all of this in a much greater way when I step into my own story and all sin, all death is paid for by the blood of Christ. This is a fascinating witness to the person and work of Jesus. Put all sins and put all death on me. Very rich also for the scriptures. I'm going to talk about that maybe on the other side of our break. But yeah, stay tuned. Here's your cliffhanger. What does this mean for the Bible? Well, let me tell you in just a couple minutes.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcasts, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Leviticus chapter 16. Just a fascinating text. I know it's really weird when you look at these terms like Azazel, Aaron, and, you know, the atonement. This is just kind of, it's going to get bloody here real soon. But it's just so rich for how our Lord deals with his people. It's also rich for how the Bible works with its witness to God's son, Jesus. This is, I guess you could say, well, which goat represents Jesus, the one that dies? Well, what about the one that has all the sins placed on it, right? What about the bull? What about Aaron? So you look at this, and this, the reason I make a deal of it is that already, and it's just this first few verses here that we've studied, you get a sense of how rich the Old Testament is to testifying about the person and work of Christ. It's not like one thing is saying something about him and the rest are just boring details. Is that you get a picture of who he is from many different angles. We learn something about Jesus from this goat that dies. We learn something about Jesus from this goat that bears all of the sins. We learn something about Jesus from this high priest Aaron, and so on. We learn something also from the blood and the sprinkling and the atonement that happens. In a rich way, this is just how the Bible works, is that it you know, Luther once said, Christ in every word, right? That's what we call this podcast. This is, I mean, this text illustrates as good as any other on the market, even though this is kind of a weird one. So I want that to be clear if you forget everything else. Then Aaron shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring its blood in. I'm skipped down to verse 15 here, by the way. And bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place. This is a marvelous passage, isn't it? So Aaron himself is killing this goat. It's for the people, though. And already you get a sense of the relationship between the priest and people. Why, if it's for the people, why is the priest doing it, right? That priest is, in a sense, rolling up the sleeves and getting messy with the people's business, with the people's sins, participating in that. You kill that sin offering, and you bring its blood inside the veil, and you do with its blood as you did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat. Now, this is an amazing thing, because not only have we put these two goats in the Lord's presence, put sin and put death on me, but it is getting all the way to the point of its blood being sprinkled over the mercy seat. And on front of the mercy seat is exactly like the epitome of God's meeting place. It's where God dwells. It's where nobody, it's so holy. It's the Holy of Holies. And we're going to take blood and throw it on the holiest place in all of creation. Take sin and take death and take blood and put it all on the Lord. Place it on his presence where the Lord is, on front of the mercy seat, on the mercy seat. You get the different prepositions, you know, here and there. There are actually 49 total. I read this one. It's fascinating. You have to do the math, and I never did. But there are actually 49 sprinklings of this whole thing. So right away, the number 7, right? 7 is a perfect number, right? You want triple sevens in Vegas. Well, 7 times 7, 49 total sprinklings of blood, like a perfect blood sprinkling on this day. And it's on the Lord. Put sin and death and blood on me. And then atonement is made for the holy place. Because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of the transgressions, all their sins. Do you see that? That the Lord is so vulnerable. I mean, it's one thing to just be like, well, okay, the people are unclean. I get it. You got to think about it from the Lord's perspective. He has allowed himself to dwell among his people in a way that gets unclean, in a way that's affected by their wrongdoing, in a way that's vulnerable to their dirtiness, to their sins. Now, you could do this a few different ways, but this implies a lot about how the Lord chooses to dwell with his people. And this is also this kind of this emphasis on both the cleansing of both the people and the Lord's dwelling place. How can that even get unclean? Are you not the Lord, right? But he allows himself to take upon himself uncleannesses, transgressions, sins, sprinkling of blood everywhere, and he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their unclean. You see the emphasis? The Bible might say weird things, and it might be repetitive, but push that around a little bit. Don't let it just... And so when it says, so shall he do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. You don't need to repeat that. The Bible doesn't waste words. But the Lord is emphasizing in the midst of this day of, yeah, perhaps I'm remembering a lot of sins and so on, that I am with you in the midst of whatever kind of uncleanness, transgression, or sin you may have. There's no deeper, darker place you can go where I am not there before you, ready and eager and willing to take upon myself whatever it is that weighs most heavily upon you. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel, all their transgressions, all their sin. He shall put them on the head of a goat, send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat bears all their iniquities on itself to a remote area. He shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Okay. So we have this other goat. Aaron lays both of his hands. So this is again, the holy place is done. It's been atoned for, been cleansed. We're presenting this live goat. Aaron's laying both of his hands on the head of the goat, which in old school times, ancient Near Eastern, like if you did this sort of gesture, hands on the head, you see this now and then, people are anointed. So hands are laid on the head of, pastors, right? Priests of old, kings, who gets this treatment? It's a special thing. There is a kind of transferal that happens when this takes place. And that's exactly the big point for us. That's what happens to the sins. Aaron lays both of his hands on the head of the live goat, confesses it over all the iniquities, all the transgressions, all their sins. You hear the emphasis on the all? This is big because sin, something that you've done, something that I've done, can be transferred. It no longer belongs to you. It's transferred ownership. The thing that you look at and say, I did that, the Lord looks at it and says, it now belongs to someone else. Someone else has done that. No, I did that. No, not because of how I atoned for you. Someone else has done that. You're free. All your iniquities, not just most of them, all your transgressions, not just the ones that you think are no big deal, all your sins, even the ones that you think, oh man, I'm gonna need a lot of time for that wound to heal, whatever the place, sins can be dealt with. Every single one of them can be transferred onto another. And that is exactly, this other goat then bears all their iniquities on itself. There's no leftover. There's nothing beside this, you know, like the goat takes this and then, you know, you have to do these things this coming week and so on. The goat bears all their iniquities, like for the fourth time, we're told, every single one, onto itself to a remote area. He shall let the goat go free into the wilderness. That goat doesn't get killed, by the way. That goat bears all the sin and yet lives. There is both this death and life in atonement, in bearing sins, in bearing death, in bearing blood. And that is why this passage is so rich for how it speaks to the person and work of Christ. Put your sins on me, your death on me, your iniquities, your transgressions. I will deal with them. I will die. I will be raised again to new life as your high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, the book of Hebrews deals with this whole passage, this whole idea. Christ as high priest, who offers up for us an eternal sacrifice, a sacrifice to end all sacrifices, who is constantly interceding for us as high priest with prayers far better than our own, with tears and supplications. He's 24/7. He knows what's on your heart better than we do. A merciful high priest who's offered up himself and continues to offer of himself the very substances of his body and blood for our life and salvation. Because where there is forgiveness of sins, where there is blood, there is life and salvation. This is a fascinating text. I hope we're going to call it there, but I know it's kind of odd, but man, is it rich for how the Bible works and who the person and work of Christ is and all about. So, hey, stay tuned. We're going to keep moving with these. Tell your family and friends that they too can learn more about God's Word with us. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Be sure to also check out the Celesca Scholarship, just an awesome opportunity to support future pastors. Until next time, my friends, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman, wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.